Great experiences build great leaders. Great leaders build great teams. This is Building Great Sales Teams.
All right, guys, welcome back to Building Great Sales Teams. I've got a familiar face for you guys today. Episode 91, we had Ken Baden on the podcast. He's back today. He is the CEO of PCR Roofing, and he also does some consulting, and he's turned into a little mega influencer, man. You're all over the place now, and you just had an event called Blue Collar Ballers. Tell us about that, brother.
Yeah, so the Blue Collar Ballers event itself, Ryan set that up, Ryan Steumann. You know, about a year back, I started the Blue Collar Ballers group. And really, it was always with him. I mean, he was sort of my, what's the word I'm looking for here? I mean, he's my coach, of course, but you know, I signed up for masterminders and with the intention of creating my own, I know that that's like a bad word now, mastermind. It's not really a bad word. It's just we're considered more a business association, I guess, just for clarity's sake. But yeah, I wanted to start a mastermind. I've always loved the concept. I've been interested in it ever since reading Think and Grow Rich. I think it's a really smart idea. And just for me, working with him, I had one idea. He was like, yeah, that's cool, but I don't really think you're going to make any money on that, one. And two, you can help people when you have a bigger platform, man, because my idea was more like, oh, I want to work with, I don't know, man, underprivileged youth, folks similar to myself. Not that I was underprivileged as a youth, but I have my background and just I had a whole different thing, man. And he was like, well, let's see, your background's in blue collar spaces, home services, roofing. You have a consulting company for it. You've got your own company. I'm thinking you stay there. And that's probably where you can help people best. And you know, he came up with the name Blue Collar Ballers right there on the spot in one of our coaching calls, actually. And everybody, you know,
he's got an ability to do that, doesn't he?
Yeah. And then the funny part is, like, I was still kind of like, ah, man, you know, I want to do my idea. Somebody messages me afterwards from the group, like, hey, man, if you're not interested in that, I'd love to take it. And I'm like, no. No, I'm taking
wait,
it.
Wait, no.
Right. No, I'm taking it. So I took it. He gave me a Facebook. You know, everybody else started, or some people already had theirs. I was completely going from scratch. Like, some of these other folks already had a mastermind. So long story short, he kind of gave me a little heads up by giving me a Facebook that no longer was in use for him, a group that really wasn't. You know, it was formerly like a solar group or something. And
yeah,
which I thought would be a really huge help. And I'm not saying that it wasn't, but I will say that a lot of the folks were not as receptive as I had hoped to like the change. It was inactive, right? So I don't know what I expected. Yeah. I was thinking like, all right, we got 700 people and they were just going to like accept the change and be really excited. That wasn't what happened. We lost a lot of folks, but organically, man, we grew it up to, I think, 6,000 something in a little less than a year. And it was a lot of big time growth in that in a short period. And we hope to get it even more. That's a free group, though, right? So our first event was just past two Fridays ago, where Ryan wanted to do something for like the roofing side. Ultimately, long story short, but to make it even shorter, instead of the arrangement that we originally had, I thought that I would see if he would be up to help me even more. You know what I mean? I'm not sure what else to say there, but that's the truth, man. I just kind of was like, man, I don't have the time. You know, I just don't. I don't have the time. I need to put all the energy into expanding and scaling my company. I'm not sure what I would have done had he not been interested in partnering with me, but like a true partnership. But, you know, he had his ideas of, you know, what that looked like, and got Todd involved, Todd Price, which is awesome. Because he's on my advisory board, so is Ryan for the actual business. So it's really nice to have two people that I'm already very close with. And I have a ton of respect for Todd. Todd's done huge things in the industry, and it went really, really well, man. So, and kudos to Ryan, man. I mean, he set that up. You know, he just kind of talked to me like, hey, we're going to do this. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, just tell me where to be. And that's the value, man. Like, Ryan has all this experience. You know, I just don't, you know. And so I'm really just leaning on him, like, you know, you just kind of one of those trust falls, you know what I mean? So, but if you're going to do it with anybody, why not do it with the guy that founded Apex? I mean, they think they're doing pretty well. So,
100%. What was it like? I mean, was it over before it started kind of thing? By the end of it, were you just like, man, I would imagine it had to fly by that day.
It was nerve-wracking. I mean, if I'm being honest, you know what I mean? I was nervous, but I was really, really excited, and it was cool to be nervous. I remember standing next to Ryan before I'm going on, and it's hard for me to sit still anyhow, but I'm like pacing back and forth, and I just was like looking at him, and I'm like, dude, none of this is nerve-wracking at all to you, is it? And he's just, nah. You know, I had Mike.
It's in his house. He's in his home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, right.
So, like he's at home right now, you know, and this is like,
and he was MCing. So he's like MCing. Yeah. He's making sure everything's going good. Too, so I'm like sitting next to him while he's like running back and forth. And my mic had an issue. Of course, I'm the only one. Like a couple other guys had like a slight, like, and then, you know, a hiccup and then keep going. Mine like went dead. They had to reboot it. So I'm standing up there in the beginning, like, you know what I mean? Like that scene in Ricky Bobby was like, I don't know what to do with my hands.
At least you looked good.
Thank God, man. Thank God I brought the suit out, because I was hopefully I can recover from this. But that part was awkward, but I got past it. And I think I did well. I learned a lot. I can tell you what, man, I learned a really valuable lesson. And because that was my first timed speaking event where it's like, hey, you got 45 minutes and I'm watching this clock tick, and I can get locked on a subject and just kind of go. And I had all these great slides with all this awesome information that I tweaked last minute because I wanted to deliver as much value as possible. And I think like 4 slides, you know what I mean? It just is what it is.
Was that how many have you done any speaking engagements, or was that like your first?
I've done it's the first one that I did that was timed. I've done a couple training, like I can't remember, because I used to post it today, like. Well, yeah, I mean, I've done some training events for like, or local guys here that either know me. I mean, friends or peers. I have a lot of people that are around here that I'm a big networking guy, man. Like that's kind of my MO, is I think that, I don't know, that's just the way that I am. I believe if you're always trying to meet new successful people, even in the same industry, and you don't look at them as like, oh, that guy's my competitor. Like that guy could have some really valuable information, man. And you guys are really strong together. So this guy's asking me to come in and, hey, you train my sales team. I'll help you in your back end where you're weak and I'm strong. Mm-hmm. We'll help each other. So I've done a few events like that, really just come train my sales folks, do a presentation there. I've sung on stage more than I've talked on stage.
Yep. I didn't know that. Maybe we talked about it before, but where's that? Was that something
I posted it today? Yeah, so that's why I thought you were getting that. But I posted about it today. Actually, ironically, I sang in a band for like a season, dude. Like one summer, maybe a little longer.
It had to be rock,
dude. Right? You know what? It was country. Believe it or not, it's country music.
No, I can see that too. I can see that too. The deep, like raspy voice.
Very. I want to be Chris Young. That's my guy, man.
Okay.
So I feel like I got. You know. I mean, that guy's got one of the best.
I would have thought it would have been Johnny.
Johnny Cash.
Johnny Cash. Yeah.
Man. Yeah. I mean,
the Ray Bans and the deep, like, you know, Southern voice. I think that would.
It's
that would
funny, man, because the irony in that is actually the guy I was so. How I even got into singing is random as hell, but it's just, I think it's a couple things that I posted about this today, but it shows the power of manifestation, visualization, and just kind of like you get what you focus on. When I was just graduating college, before college, I was always going to be a cartoonist. I drew, that was my thing. I was the guy that drew. Mm-hmm. All my friends knew it. I wasn't like, I like to think I was cooler than like, I don't know. I wasn't like some kid that was kind of like, I don't know where I'm going with this, but I want to paint the picture of like, you know, like Family Guy or something like that. That was my dream. It was like, I wanted to have like my own cartoon show and draw my buddies and we'd have a good time. I'd making fun of them and stuff, you know? So like, that was my deal, was cartoons. And there's a Boondocks is the strip that I was trying to emulate. And the guy went to Maryland, Aaron Magruder. It's a show on Cartoon Network too. Mm-hmm. And things were always just kind of like easy. It's like I had these huge, grandiose ideas for the longest time, but like the application of them is where I just got held up. Like I always had these great big ideas. And then it's like when it came time and the rubber met the road, I'd always just, okay, that's hard. On, moving on, right? So I go to freaking Maryland. I get accepted into the University of Maryland. Mm-hmm. Work my butt off to get there because in high school I got terrible grades. I was a knucklehead. Parents got divorced, you know.
Yeah.
I get into Maryland. I go one semester as an art major. I meet the professor one time who says, he scoffed at me when I was like, yeah, I'm going to be the next Aaron Magruder. And he was like, yeah, Aaron had his stuff together, knew exactly what he wanted. And that's how he said it to me. And I took that as like, oh my God, how dare you? And dude, I didn't go back. I changed my major. I changed my schools. I think about all this now. I didn't really put that together at the time, but now I'm like, I have a much more introspective view of myself. And I'm like, oh, dude, you not only bailed on that, you bailed on the whole Maryland.
Yeah,
all
the
of it,
whole thing. Yeah.
And I went on the shot, chased my girlfriend to Frostburg and did a little newspaper thing there. And it was exactly what I thought. Walked in, said I wanted to do it. No prereqs, no nothing. And then I had a newspaper column the next day. Right. Like, so I guess it worked. In a way, but I didn't do anything with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Went from a D1 to D3 school, but anyhow, I graduated. I didn't do anything with it because it's hard. It was hard. It was really hard. You being a cartoonist, a professional cartoonist with your own strip, with your own show, that doesn't just happen. In fact, the odds are probably like winning the lottery. Like it's like being a professional football player, right? And so I'm like, oh, that's just not realistic. Well, we never have guys like us. People like us, we don't have realistic goals or expectations, I was just so lost, man. I just didn't have the practical application and the belief in myself. And so now I'm a singer, dude. Now I'm a singer. Cause I mean, it's gotta be big, right? Like now I'm going to sing. Cause I thought I could sing and I'm just going to be a singer now. Cause I can't just go get a job. Like I gotta be something, you know what I mean? Up here. It's like, no. We got big plans for us, you know? And, I go and I just start telling my buddies, now I'm going to be a singer. And dude, my buddies always believed in me. My friends always we're going to be famous for the cartoon strip. Then it's, we're going to be famous because Ken's going to be a singer. I mean, they all would like, we would joke about being Entourage and like who was going to be what.
I can't think of anybody our age that didn't want to be Entourage, man.
Dude, we really believed it. And it was, I ended up recording a couple songs. They were rock, actually.
Okay.
Dude, a friend of a friend was like, hey, I got a buddy who needs somebody to sing on these two tracks. He's an interning at a studio. Nothing big. Mm-hmm. I did it. Nothing really came of it other than I thought it was cool, you know. But I'm working at State Farm, which is how I got into sales. The State Farm agent, Dave Whitaker, is my buddy's father. And that's how I got there in the first place. And he gets the CD because Dustin, so his son, my buddy, who's supporting the hell out of me, it's like, Dad, you got to listen to this. Well, we had a guy there that was our insured named Ronnie Dove, who sang with Elvis, Johnny Cash. Oh, that's where this all came from, by the way. Mm-hmm. So back when it was the Johnny Cash show, the Elvis show, the Elvis Presley show, and it was the Ronnie Dove show. Tassels and all, dude, like suits, glittery suits, tassels.
Yeah. I don't remember, but like, yeah, my grandma was a big Elvis fan. So she had all his recordings and everything, the movies, all that stuff. I remember. Yeah.
Well, and, he had like a top five hit one time, but still, dude, like that's like, he got to sing with Elvis and those guys. And, he's still doing it in like his 80s at the time. Right. I think he's still doing it and he's got to be 90 something. He retired for like 5 minutes and came back, but he's hitting like Moose Lodges, Elks Clubs, whatever. Yeah. Right. I mean, he's got a good following of older ladies that just love the hell out of him. And and he's still doing it, right? And so he's like, look, honey, that's what he called me. And he's like, I'm going to make you a star. You got it. You got the look. You got the voice. And I want you to come sing with me and open. I had never sung on stage. I'd never been on stage. I really wasn't that serious of a singer. I just recorded two songs. That was it. He brings me out, starts having me perform in his shows. Is wild, dude. It was a lot of fun. So I've been on a lot of stages that whole summer where like half the time I was hammered, but he's like coaching me like, don't get too drunk. You know, don't do drugs, all that stuff.
Drunk.
right. Cause you don't want to sound too bad. And right. Like, and he's right, man. The one time I sounded really, really good, I thought was when I was late and I didn't get to drink, and I just ran right out on stage, sang sober, got back. I was like, dude, that sounded amazing. But
yeah,
long story short, again, I keep saying that. That's weird. But anyhow, that was my singing career in a nutshell. And so I had experience on stage, just not anywhere near what I was doing. You know what I mean? So
yeah,
that's more the experience I'm used to.
Okay, brother. That's awesome, man. I love it so much. The man of many talents. You can draw, you can sing, and you can run a multi-million-dollar roofing company.
Bust my own toss, man. Like the man of many useless talents. You know what I mean? But I don't say stuff like that anymore because that's self-deprecating. You know what I mean? But yeah. Well, you know what? It worked out just fine. So yeah. Oddball talents, man. Singing, drawing, all that stuff. But it's cool, mm-hmm. man.
I mean, that's the stuff that comes in handy around the family. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then the kids and, you know, karaoke nights and all that kind of stuff. And you just.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. Okay. So when you were last on our show, you had just started coaching with Ryan. You had just joined Apex and you were fairly new to building your machine. I feel like since then you've came so far, you know, when you look at your content now versus your content then, I was kind of rolling through it earlier, and I want to kind of show this on the screen too. If you're watching on YouTube, check this out. Like this was when Ken first came on the show here.
That's right.
And then we go up here, we go to like today. Let me scroll up here and look at his content now. Just beautiful content, you know, and he's crushing it. I'm sure you're. Followers have gotten insane since he started doing this and investing in it and everything. So it's kind of cool to see that journey, you know?
Yeah.
And I guess the question that I have is, other than following the play that was put in front of you with building your machine and everything, what's the end goal here? You know, I would imagine recruiting gets easier. I would imagine, you know, opportunities in your business get easier. You know, and as you create this, not even persona, but this public view of what you're doing, more things happen, right? But what's your end goal with it all? Because you've invested heavily in this.
Yeah. Yeah, I have, man. I mean, and I learned a lot of valuable lessons. I mean, I invested very heavily, probably a little too heavily. But you know, man, I learned some lessons last year. You know, I went all in financially on every possible kind of coaching I could get. Mm-hmm. Ryan kind of warned me there, like, hey, you know, it gets a little convoluted and confusing. And he was right, you know, but I didn't really look at anybody else other than him as my coach. So it didn't really like, but you get this guy for YouTube, this guy for this. And technically they all consider themselves coaches. And now you're like working with 50 different people. And it's like, okay, you know, so I would say pace yourself, just work with one person, figure out if it's a good fit. If it's not, then perhaps, you know, try someone else, just a piece of advice for your wallet. But the end game is simple, man. I've always wanted to. So just like I was just talking about, you know, nothing's ever been like small. Before I joined with Ryan, you know, I saw guys like Grant Cardone and Brad Lee, and I've always been in sales because I just kind of fell into State Farm and, you know, I just happen to be good at it, man. You know, if I can't do one of these other crazy things that I really wanted to do, selling kind of gave me the same thrill and you know, some of the movies and things you see, even though it's not the movies and it's not the things you see, it's like it made it appealing enough to where I was like, man, I could really sink my teeth in here and still feel good about myself and what I'm doing. And in reality, I make as much as I can, my talents will allow. And that was really appealing to me. So I saw those guys as sort of like the big leagues of sales, like okay, they've whatever they did in their career, they did really well. And then they get to this level. Well, now they're this personality. I didn't really understand what was behind it. Now I get they've got, you know, books, or they've got, you know, coaching groups, or you know, modules. They're still selling something.
Yeah, there's a monetization somewhere along the way.
Right, exactly. They've monetized, but they've monetized them as a brand. So for me, that's my end goal. It's always been my end goal. It just wasn't on the radar. Now, you know, I always kind of felt like, well, you know, first I got to do this, this, and this within business before I start doing that, if I want to be taken seriously. And ultimately, you know, I can look at where I've come from and now, and it's like, well, and a lot of the coaching that I've gotten is like, well, you've done a lot of stuff already, man. And so, look, let's start doing that now, because you have a whole lot to offer. And some of that's just confidence, and some of it's just, you know, jumping in with both feet. But, you know, the fact that I already knew that's what I wanted to do. And ultimately it's like, well, let's set that up now. So when I do these things, it's already established and hopefully there's already a foundation there. So like, I'm betting on myself to hit these goals like PE and so on within the business. So when that happens and the time does come to where I have the time, the actual time to devote full to the brand that is myself, it's already sort of established, not sort of, it's already established and I can you know, both feet in. And really, you know, I'd love to see myself on stages and working with sales teams is what I really like. And that's just the future vision that I have for myself, you know, whether that is telling my story on stages to help some folks, I'd really love to do that. Training some businesses, a lot of the things that we see these guys do, to me, that's the future I want. And so I'm sort of setting that up currently while doing and focusing on the main business, which I believe gets me there and also lends credibility to what I'm saying.
Yeah, I think it's an interesting conversation because, and I like that, you know, you're on the podcast at this stage in it, right? Where you're kind of in that in between, you know, you're setting up your company to sell to PE in the future, but at the same time, you're building this brand, you know? And so you kind of have, you know, your head in two places and that can get tough, but I think it's important to talk about this part of the journey, right? Because you didn't hear this part of the journey during the journey with like Tim Grover. You didn't hear this part of the journey during the journey with Ed Milet, you know, or Petra, Pat.
PBD.
Yeah, PBD.
Patrick Bet-David.
Patrick Bet-David. Thank you. You're not the only one fumbling on some words here. All right. And so, like, I think it's so cool to see you on this rise. At the same time, it's like, you know, you do see those posts and you see those people that say, oh, well, if you haven't done this, you shouldn't be coaching. And if your coach isn't where you want to be, you shouldn't be coaching or consulting or an influencer or whatever the case is. It's all bullshit, you know?
Yeah, I agree.
There's levels to everything, right? And so you're at a, you know, the level you're at right now, there's a roofer, there's thousands of roofers out there that would love to be at that level. Hell, just business people in general. You know what I'm saying? There's some kid out there that needs you in their timeline, you know? And so it's always so frustrating to see people try to knock that down when you're trying to build this brand, you know, and people that aren't doing anything or aren't building their own brand. You know what I mean? Their little, I don't know how to say it, insecurities get poked at. And so they lash out with whatever bullshit they want to try to say, you know? And so I think it's huge that you're doing this now during this process. So going back to, again, you know, when we last talked was probably when I did a little bit of consulting work for you, right? And it was around recruiting. And so you were investing in that at the time. And I think you had two locations back then. You know, where is your business at now that you've kind of like done all these targeted investments and put together that game plan?
Yeah, I actually only had one back then, but I have two locations now. So I had the one location then, you know, we were planning on working to scale or whatever, but we have an actual brick and mortar in Delaware now that's up and running. So we have the main office, HQ, we have Delaware, we're licensed. And you know what? We might have been licensed in PA, to be fair, but we didn't have
physical locations.
Yeah, virtual location.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have an actual brick and mortar now. So we want to be virtual or satellite in PA still, virtual satellite in Virginia. But to just say that and like arbitrarily do those things, you know, that's not really like, what's that doing for you? You know what I mean? So to me, having a concentrated effort, like, okay, yeah, we have licenses here and we're waiting on Virginia to get their stuff straight. But once they do, you know, our plan is, okay, we've got a young man here, a woman that's a team lead that we trust, that's close enough that we can plot, you know, I call them the Marines, right? The sales team leads or the Marines, because they're going in first. So we'll plop them in there to scout and just start selling, man. Like, we want to check out demographics. Of course, we'll do our research and see, like, you know, what's paying the best and what markets are more responsive. And I've got some experience in Virginia and PA, not so much, but once we have about, you know, a few months, at least 4 to 6 months of data, we can really say, and then plus it gets you some houses, it gets you some, mm-hmm. you know, you get a little bit of a footprint in the area.
Google review marketing. Yeah.
Right. Footprint, 100%. And then we can look at, are we going to put a brick and mortar out here? Delaware was a no-brainer. Mm-hmm. It was the only market that reported no loss with our manufacturers and distributors last year and our whole surrounding, you know, more than our tri-state area. So mm-hmm. that was like, all right, we gotta get into Delaware. It's booming. Let's get out there. But it's far enough to where it needed a brick and mortar, in my opinion. So we've got that.
Remind me, you guys are doing retail and insurance work?
Yeah. Well, so yes, my background is actually more in retail, traditional retail. So, hey, I've got a, and you've got to get, so that the whole conundrum with retail is leads. That's it, right? Like it's leads, leads. Whereas door-to-door insurance is a true door-to-door model where it's, you know, more managing the money and dealing with the crap that comes from insurance and like, you know, 120 days or 6 months waiting on a job. It's just retail. If you figure out the lead situation, it requires a lot more upfront, a lot more stress, a lot more risk, but you're putting that job in next week. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like it's beautiful and you get it, you're done, you're paid, you're out. But we've been doing heavy insurance, but that was the nature of this business. I had another business with a partner and that was retail. This was to scope out insurance. So we're just at a point, to your point, where we can start to explore sincerely. And I think when we spoke, I was looking at doing this then, but at that time I had bathrooms, I had solar, I had other departments that I was looking to sort of circumvent the natural progression of time and get to an overall evaluation or volume goal by adding things like, not just
verticals.
Right. Roofing typically in retail is like roofing, siding, windows, doors. It's all exteriors. You all get it from the same place. It's, you know what I mean? Like it might as well be the same thing. So that's not really the same, but we went and did like a full on different vertical, two different verticals, and we nixed both of them.
Yeah.
We nixed both of them. I mean, the bathrooms were cool. It just wasn't going to go green soon enough. We have a very strict timeline. So we learned a valuable lesson there. You know, we took a couple hits last year, man, but all in all, we ended up at 20% up year over year. And I'll take that considering we tried some really big moves.
Two verticals.
and got our ass kicked. Right. So it's like, well, and look, some of that was the market. Some of that was time. And it was like, man, this could work. This should work. But damn it, we just don't have the time. But then I had to look at, speaking of time, man, had I just committed all my efforts and all my everything into just, you know, the roofing. Because what I was looking at is I had two people that could run that autonomously, right? But undoubtedly, it still required some of my time, my effort, my energy, my focus, not a ton, but some. Mm-hmm. And if I had all of it focused on roofing, I just think, you know, we could have done so much better, man. I mean, we had a really good year, like I said, 20%, but we dropped from our previous year 2 points, which was already a struggle. Our proven strength is sell. It's the back end on this insurance process that, you know, and to your knowledge, you know, EOS, we need an integrator. Like I need air, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like I am Visionary McGee. And for those of you who don't know, Doug would be a great person to ask, but I am the quintessential visionary. So, and I lend myself to, my experience is in sales. So we got more leads than we could possibly use. What's that?
Have you taken the test?
Oh,
it's gotta be 97.
I'm like a million. Right. My disc is 99 D&I. My visionary is, I know.
That's crazy. My visionary is,
I can't remember. I'm not a hybrid. I can tell you that much. I'm not a U. But to that point, I still know the importance of those things. So I'm like, all right, we got to track these things. We just got a guy in. So where we're at now is we put all the emphasis back on roofing. Okay. We saw, okay, we're 20% up year over year, but you know, our lead to install, we're only installing at like 50, 48%. So while you'd look on the outside in and say, oh man, you guys are doing this so quickly. What I know is we could be doing double that. And while you might, you know what I mean? So our distributors are manufacturing, oh, you guys are doing so great. And, you know, look, by comparison and timeline, because we're only a 3-year-old company, it's like, brother, we could have probably broken records. like wherever they exist. I mean, we should have been a $12 million gross, $12 million single office in year two, not even because that's when we dropped to 50. The following year, last year, we should have been 16, at least 14 at an industry average. And so that's my focus, man, is this year is like, okay, nothing else, just roofs. Like, I don't know what other proof you need, Ken, right? Like a big slap in the back of the head, but like, brother, here are 2 years worth of metrics to suggest you guys got this claim filed thing figured out, right? You got the sales part of this figured out. Damn, if you could just get the right guy in, and it's not me. It is not me. If you get the right guy in to come in and say, hold on, slow down, sales guy. Let me see about these processes. And oh, by the way, here's how you get this bought. Here's what you do when they say no here. Here's what you do when you say no here. And let's get you up even to industry average.
Yeah.
We're crushing it. So that's what we're doing.
I'll tell you this much, Ken. The guy that you hire is going to say something to the tune of, hey, we can't do that next month, but maybe we can do it in 4 months once we complete the three other ideas you had. You know what I'm saying? Before then. You know what I mean? So the guy you don't want is like, oh, no, we can't do that. That's too fast. Or, you know, that's not going to work. You want the guy that comes in and says, all right, let me figure out how I can make that work if you give me some time, you know, and that's going to be your guy. But so what did you guys do last year, and what's y'all's target this year?
Our target last year, man, was absurd. I mean, as a collective, it's irrelevant, but like we were shooting for the moon, like 20 mil. I mean, you know, we really were like, but you know, look, man, and I fucking believed it. You know, I mean, you can say what you want, but I'd gotten sold some things like, hey, we're going to do bathrooms. It's going to do this much. And I just didn't know enough about it to be like, no, it's not. Solar is going to do this much. Well, you know, solar looks very different than it did even a year and some change ago.
It's amazing. Right?
So like the solar market that we thought we were going to get an extra five from, we got nothing, man, like barely anything. Right. So we just said, hey, no, there's no point in wasting time on this right now to me. Right. Like, so I know guys are still making it work, but for me and my money and like roofing, like, let's just focus on this. Right. And so, last year we collected, I don't know, man, I think it was around like 8-7. I mean, our goal was 10. We should have gotten 10. And that wasn't even our original goal. Our goal from roofing alone was 12. And you have to understand, we did the claims filed to well exceed that. I mean, well exceed. So 48%. The whole time we're thinking we're good. We're like, hey, hell yeah.
Yeah, dude. All this
like,
is going to catch up. All this is going to come through.
Right. There's no reason, you know, because this year, last year was the year that we had our eyes on that. The number the year before when we landed at 6.7 gross and not even our second year, just under our second year. I mean, I don't know why I say that because January is what starts our fiscal year. So close enough.
Right.
6.7. And everybody's like, holy shit, that's really, really good. That's not even, especially here, man, because it's not Texas, right? Like, we're not getting hail and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're not in a storm-centric market necessarily.
To give you some sort of comparison, one of my mentors here owns one of the biggest on the East Coast outfits, very similar to like Tony Flatoms and probably even Kurt. However, it's been done over 8 offices. Like, we just, we don't have the one office getting smashed by hail and like it's got to be done like that. You know, it's 8 offices doing 5 to 10. It's just, that's what it is. Right. So,
but that's also more sustainable, you know, and I like your model because it is absolutely more sustainable. And yeah, we need to recognize like second year doing 6.7. I thought I was a badass in my third year when I did 4.8. So it was, brother,
and that's so funny, man, because like I didn't think I was doing anything. I was like, I was almost in
same. I had no idea. I was running and gunning, you know what I mean? And then you guys close
people tell you this crazy stuff what they're doing, and it's just not true. It's just not
Most of it is not.
I don't understand why they lie like that, but like now that I know the market as well as I do, I can pick up on it like that. Like, okay, and I know the logistics and the semantics, I know all. I'm like, okay, dude, you're
well, and you know when they're including, you know, maybe like cost, and you know they're including like a realtor with homes. All right, you did 100 million. Congratulations! Like that's like 100 homes. Calm down. You know what I mean? Like So it just depends on the vertical, but no, I think it's massive. I think the growth is huge, and then you got to look at last year, man. I mean, granted, it's insurance, but at the same time, like people weren't spending money. You know what I'm saying? people weren't opening their doors. They weren't like, everybody was in this reclusive like attitude where it's like, hey, I got to hold on to my money. You know, I don't want to pay deductibles, all that kind of stuff. I don't want to come out of pocket because I'm getting my ass handed to me at my work. My company's getting it handed to them. Like, man, everybody was feeling that, you know, the money came out of the market in at the end of 22. So 23, everybody got their asses kicked, you know, and you guys still grew. And it sounds like by like 15 to 20%. So,
and you know, what's funny too, is we were adamant about like, to make this even more complex, towards the end mm-hmm. of the year, fall of last year, I let go every sales guy I had but two. Mm-hmm. I parted ways with my internal like right hand man, not on any animosity or anything like that. It was just like,
yeah,
it was a very hard look in the mirror at, okay, here's where we are. And now I've got a year's plus worth of this coaching and all this, you know, all having met all these massive, I am such a huge network guy. Like, I already had two mentors here locally. That's mm-hmm. how I knew, okay, the game is not just going to happen for me the right way it's happening for these other guys, because insurance, contrary to what some of these guys might want me to believe, that's just not the case, right? So, yeah. And thank God I do have someone like those guys, right, that can adequately give me these expectations. Like, hey, man, my highest grossing office is 11, right? Yeah. Like at a one office. Mind you, this guy's doing 70, 80 mil, but like at a one office. Yeah. So I know, well, shit,
I need,
man,
multiple
2 years
offices.
Running.
Yeah.
Right. But 2 years running, this one office should have done more than that in its second year. So we've got some, you know, you look at those numbers and mm-hmm. you could want to jump off a bridge, right? Because I can tell you, I was so frustrated at, damn, you know, look, we did this, but the whole year we're thinking we're going to do this. And, you know, and you did the hard part. You knocked the door. You got them to say yes. You got the paperwork. And it's like, but I'm sales guy. Go, 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 go. Keep going. More sales. When insurance is a two-parter, man, like arguably the other side of that is equally, if not more important, where it's like, you need that.
You gotta have the star salesperson on the insurance side.
Yes. On the internal side.
On
right.
The
that's
internal
like
side, pushing that
supporting end
of
that.
Happen. Yeah. 100%.
I think I found somebody who, is a good friend of mine that worked for longs. He used to do his, he used to work for somebody else. Now he's starting his own thing, but like, he just got started, and we've known each other since the second grade. So I knew him well enough to know, like, holy crap, if anybody's an integrator, it's you.
Yeah.
And I had him take the assessment just to prove myself right. But like, he's the most competitive, annoyingly so, like, smart engineer I've ever met. Right. And so I'm like, sales is foreign to him.
Yeah,
but he's not afraid to push for results, but he's also systems. Like, he knows every insurance carrier, what to do for every possible everything. And he sees our approval rating and he's like, oh my God, like,
I would fucking
right.
bring another 2-3 million to your company. Just like your systems and processes.
So,
yeah.
Probably understand what I'm thinking, but like, we've hired, you know, you asked me earlier, like, hey, where are you at this year? Our goals are 35 again, but they're very real. Like, we brought in a consultant because I just watched my peer Brandon go from, you know, 10 to 30. I'm like, look, I've got 2 years supporting. This is a $12 million office all day long. And I refuse to accept that we just can't even get to industry average is somewhere 68%.
Yeah.
So we get up from 48 to that even. And again, this is a $12 million office.
It's exactly what you said it is. You guys are sales centric. You're bringing in the heavyweight on the ops side, and that's going to come. I have no doubt in my mind, you guys are going to crush that 68%. And I mean, crush it.
I'm really excited, man. I haven't hired him yet. I'm trying really hard to get him, only because he started his own business. So like, we're navigating this. How does that look? But I can tell you one thing. That's my last hire. I hired a production manager to handle.
You don't get to 30 million without hiring another business owner.
I agree. I just, you know, he sees it. I know he does.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like, it just kind of fell in my lap. It's not
the
like
end
that's
and
hard.
The
like,
the end and the yang right there.
We had hired John and we're like, we have to reconstruct all of these things. I told you, we let all these people go because we knew where we were going over winter. We knew we were going to spend money when we normally would lose it in the winter. Like, we make less. So we were already up against it.
I want to point out probably two major things here. The first one is, and you guys just heard it from Ken, he let all his salespeople go except for two, you know, and so many times in this industry or in door-to-door in sales and period, you know, like, you think, oh, if I lost my team tomorrow, I'd be screwed. You know what I'm saying? I'd be screwed. But I learned this the hard way, you know, after being in my business for 6 or 7 years and cutting everybody loose and going through that turnover and stuff, because I had to rebuild that. At the end of the day, if you've built a multi-million dollar business from sales, it's you. You know what I'm saying? People can say it's them all they want, the VP, the regional, the sales manager, the salesperson. They all, you're going to pump them up. You're going to make them feel good. That's part of your job as a sales manager or an owner of a sales org, right? Or a sales-centric business. But at the end of the day, don't forget who did it in the first place and who built it all out. You know what I'm saying? And obviously you didn't. You cut everybody loose. You knew what you had to do and you were confident in that. And I think that brings me to my second point, which is the guys you are surrounded by are doing 100 million, 80 million, 30 million. You know what I'm saying? No wonder. No wonder, like, you're, and think about it. Most average people walking down the street, if they were doing 8 million a year and had the net profit that comes with that, they would have made it. They would have made it. Like, they'd be the most successful person in their family immediately. You know what I'm saying? And so because you're surrounded by the Ryan Stumans and the Todd Prices and the Tony Flatoms and your mentor that you said on the East Coast, as well as Brandon James, like, that's the game, I feel like. And the biggest takeaway that I've heard so far in hearing you talk about all these things, and you're talking about them like they're not amazing. And you're like, fuck, no, fuck that. I need this. You know what I'm saying? Which is the next
level. I haven't done anything yet. Right. Yeah.
I love it, brother. I love it so much.
You're right, though. That is 100%. That's it. I mean, even before Apex, I mean, the two that I'm talking about are probably worth the other guys. He's got a whole, I don't know the inner workings, but there's like 6-7 companies he's the CEO of. Yep. They're pretty much a platform company now. Mm-hmm. So I'm assuming it's somewhere in like the 200 million range. Now, that's not what that business is doing, but there's so many businesses now. I mean, I think HDR is doing like... Yeah, HDR alone was doing like 75 million. They just bought a $35 million a year company. So they just bought a company doing what I want to do this year.
Yeah.
And this is a guy that's like, hey, come over Saturday. I want to talk to you. And I've never paid either of them a dime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just asked, would you help me? Right. And like, I was humble enough to ask, and they're in my market too. Cause like, that's great that I have these other guys I met in Apex. That's wonderful. They really gave me a lot of insight. They're not in my market. Like, frankly, I just learned more of like, okay, well, I can't do that. Cause that's not realistic here. Right. Like, I can do those numbers, but for me to get there, like you said, I need 4 offices doing this.
Yeah.
Cause it's just not going to happen. We're not in a hail market, right? It's not going to be a major storm where you blow up like that. And like you said, it's not sustainable.
Mm-hmm. 100%. All right, brother, what's next? You know, you got the Blue Collar Ballers group. You better be working on a book at this point. I mean, you got an amazing story that needs to go into that.
So funny you say that, man. I am, but I haven't started yet. So I say that, but I just told
your story needs to be told for sure. You told it on the first podcast. If you guys haven't listened yet, go back to episode 91 and Ken goes through his story there. And if you look at the top of his Instagram, I didn't realize this, Ken, but you got one of the BGST reels tagged at the top of your Instagram. So that's pretty cool seeing that.
Yeah, it's that episode.
Yeah, that episode. So guys, check out that episode. He's got an amazing story. And obviously go follow Ken, officialkenbaden.com, as well as make sure you promote this podcast. More roofing companies, more entrepreneurs need to hear this. And again, the biggest takeaway, it's who you surround yourself with. We know this. We hear it all the time from all of our mentors and coaches and everything else. It's massive. What's next for you, brother? I mean, besides what's going on in your business, didn't you just get married?
I did. I just got married in August. We're trying to make a family. We're working on that right now. And I'm
making
I'm
babies. Just, all right.
We're working to make babies and really provide for me, that just puts me in hyperdrive to like get these things done, man.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because of my past or what, man, but I always have this like morbid, like feeling of like, I got to go. I got to go. I got to go. Cause like, you know, it's still to your point
idle hands, where
I'm from, but now it's like, oh man, like it feels so precarious, even though it's not, it's solid, but like, you know, I'm still not that far removed, man. I mean, 6+ years where I was homeless, you know what I mean? Yeah. And like, well, I didn't think, I had anything, you know, and I had no reason to live. Now it's like, let's make a family. Let's provide this family. Let's provide for this family. Let's get these trusts. That's it, man. I mean, doing what I said I was going to do, getting PE, get the platform started and set up to, you know, I've got my whole future mapped out by like the next 10 years. So we'll see how it goes, but
big goals, man. I love it. I think for me, and I'm of the same mindset, like if I have too much time to myself, idle hands, man, you know, those vices I used to have are going to come creep back up, you know? So we tend to sometimes overload ourselves, but I think what you're going to find is when you start having kids, you change, like I would say physiologically and mentally, you know, you change, and all of a sudden those vices are dulled. Those voices in the back of your head are so incredibly dulled because you're so focused on these little tiny humans that are your whole life now, you know? And so that definitely helps a lot with that. And I'm excited to see you be a father, dude. That would be amazing. You know? So excited for you. Right?
I hope so, man. It'll happen. It'll happen. We're working on it. It's like anything else. Nothing worth having comes easy, man. And it'll happen. We're working on it right now and we're doing everything. We won't stop until we get it right. So we're working on it. And I did want to just, you said something, and just for the listeners, that I think is really important, you know, cause I do have a lot of things going on, but so Doug understands, not Doug. So your listeners understand, I completely step back from everything outside of, like, I've committed to, like, okay, I can still do some content here and there. But like, if I turn my camera, you'd see the gentleman that, like, I hired full time to, like, be in here with a camera, and like, I can jump in on lunch or after hours. Other than that, like, blue collar ballers, literally, if Ryan wasn't like, yes, man, let's make this happen, I would have had to just table it. You know, he would have done his event. Maybe we could have figured out something, some way to whatever. But
your main thing.
Yes. I just want to make that because I would do that. I would go and like, oh, I got all these things. And like that, I kind of did do that.
Yeah.
But then it's like, well, I got to step back from the consulting. And look, if I want to take on a client, I have the time. I took one client on last year, one. Mm-hmm. Right. And that was cool. It worked. Proof of concept there now. If I want to do it again, that's taking solar guys to roofing. I have a 90-day turnaround with that. That's wonderful. I don't have the time right now. So everything for me
is the idea.
Yes.
But maybe later.
And I could do it later. Right. And the same thing, like, hey, with this coaching stuff, like Ryan's like, look, it's going to require like 4 hours, 6 hours a month. Like I can do that. Right. So I just want to make sure I set that expectation, man, because I struggle with trying to take over the world tomorrow.
Yeah.
But I've seen like, this is the baby. And the baby needs all of my attention. And I learned those lessons last year of trying to create different verticals and bypass to get to where I wanted to get quicker. When in reality, if I just would have devoted the time and found the right people sooner, I would have been there way faster. But we're going to get there this year.
I appreciate it, brother. Nothing but wisdom and applied wisdom, I would say, from real experience versus just regurgitating what people say on social
media. And that's the other thing, by the way, and I know we got to get off here, but you said this, and I know it bothers you, and it bothers me too, but this coaching stuff where people are like, oh, you don't, first of all, my demographic, I know my demographic, and I don't think we give ourselves enough credit, Doug, where it's like, you can let that kind of almost start to beat you down a little bit, and then you don't want to do anything. Because I can tell you for myself, I've even been like hesitant because I'm like, well, I'm not good enough. I haven't done enough. When in reality, dude, I've been a part of starting three of these now in the last 4 years. And I mean, to your point, like I look at that like, well, big deal. I'm not $100 million. Most people don't even get to that six number or eight number. I've done, I've helped start three of them in 4 years. So like, while I might not have the ability to scale or give you the personal wisdom of the scale, I will after this year, but I'm not looking for those guys. If that guy really wants my help, I'll give him what I can, but I'll be very candid and say, look, man, I'm looking for your year one through five guys.
Yeah.
And I can help you start and scale and get your stuff done right. And I'm sure you're doing the same thing. Like, as long as you're staying in the lane of what you know, and you know, you know, and you're confident that you have value to deliver, don't let anybody else, what they think, their opinions, it's obsolete. It's not obsolete. It's irrelevant. You know what I mean? It's irrelevant. And I think it's gross, frankly, that people do that, but people are going to be people no matter what. So
people be peopling. That's what Ryan says, right?
People be peopling, dude. Haters are going to hate. People are going to people.
Absolutely, brother. No, I'm going to finish it there because that was the perfect way to finish this. I appreciate you coming on, brother, and taking the time out. And as always, Let's get building.
Yes, sir.